Welcome to Poptopia.
Welcome to Poptopia, your podcast for all things pop culture. I'm your host, Paul French, and it is Friday, September 5th, 2008. On today's show, we talk about the rest of the TV season. Well, at least we talk about the premieres. We get into what's going on with the Watchmen movie, and we also kick off the Toronto Film Festival. Okay, so just a couple of quick things to get through first. Before I get back to the schedule of premieres and everything. NBC is looking at a new show called Lost in the 80s. And basically they've ordered a pilot on a conditional basis. It's going to be an hour-long project, which they're describing as Fast Times at Ridgemont High meets The Ice Storm. And it is going to come from writer-producer Bob Rush, who brought us The Wonder Years, which, of course, you may remember is an ABC family drama set in the 60s. Here's what's scary is now, you know, they've gotten around to you know, doing the same thing for our generation, and it just makes me feel incredibly old. Anyway, NBC, of course, is already riding that 80s wave. They revived American Gladiators, and they got Knight Rider coming. You know, they did the TV movie. They got the TV series coming this year. So so there you have it. See? Quick little news item. Next one. The court has set a date for the studio's Watchmen battle. Of course, Fox is saying that they had the rights to the comic book adaptation of Watchmen, and Warner Brothers is saying, no, it's ours. And now the rights for Fox actually go way back to a draft that was done by Terry Gilliam. And which you can find if you Google it. And man, awful. I mean, just terrible. But anyway, Fox is saying they got a right to this. And what they want to do is they're not interested in money. No, Fox is not interested in money. Why would they want money? What can you do with money? You can't put more Married with Children reruns on with money. No, you can't create reality shows with money. No, it's the principle of it. Because, you know, Fox is always just about the principle of things. Anyway, so no word yet on how much money it's going to cost Warner Brothers to make this go away. But basically, Fox was pushing for a June trial date, you know, with their idea being, you know, in June, then there's no way that they can release the thing in March. Right now, they're looking at making a release of March 6th. They were pushing for June. Obviously, Warner Brothers wanted this to go a bit sooner. So the judge has set a January 6th trial date for the case. So they're all set to release this, but District Court Gary Allen Fee said that Fox should forego any attempt to get a preliminary injunction against Warners to stop the release of the film because the issues are far too complex to be resolved on an interim basis. Instead, what he said is build a factual record and let's start expedited discovery and depositions immediately. It's still possible that Fox could ask Fies to permanently enjoin Warners from releasing the film following the discovery phase. So the whole issue, again, is that Fox still holds the rights to Watchmen. They sued Warner in February for copyright infringement and interference with its contract rights under a 1991 agreement between Fox and Largo Entertainment producer Larry Gordon. Under that deal, Fox quitclaimed its right to Watchmen to Largo, with the understanding being that if the production company proceeded with making a big screen version, then Fox would be the de facto distributor. Later, they negotiated a turnaround notice with Gordon that established a buyout formula for the studio if he decided that he wanted to buy out Fox's rights, but he failed to follow that deal, ergo, ipso facto, henceforth, so as, etc., etc. The rights stay with Fox. So Gordon had negotiated a quitclaim contract with Warners in 2006, which Warners says gives them the rights to Watchmen, but Fox is saying, well, hey, he didn't buy out our rights, so they weren't his to sell. So, but Warners, of course, saying that Fox gave up their rights in 1991. So it should be very interesting to see what happens with this. But we know what's ultimately going to happen is this money will make this go away. And so that's what's going on with that. Speaking of money and movies, the Toronto Film Festival kicked off this week. And basically, a lot of companies are looking at you know, really trying to find receptive buyers at the film festival. Whether or not they succeed and how much they succeed will depend really less on the movies themselves, more on how much the studios are willing to assume in terms of risk. So you got a lot of companies that have full lineups for next year, so they're not desperate for a product. And that's from Tom Bernard, who's the co-president of Sony Pictures Classics. You know, a lot of people kind of stocked up previously, you know, worried about the writer strike and everything and the potential of an actor strike. So, I mean, actually, I also had the directors negotiating their deal earlier this year as well. So, you know, it's been pretty messy. Also, you've ended up with companies either shutting down or overhauling their mandates. Warner Independent, Picture House, Paramount Vantage, and Think Film. And so it really slowed down the buying activity at the Cannes Film Festival and at Sundance. So, should be interesting to see. Anyway, one of the films that they're saying is very likely to get a deal is director Darren Aronofsky's The Wrestler, which is a profile of an aging athlete played by Mickey Rourke. The Wrestler will have its world premiere at the Venice International Film Festival on Friday, and then 2 days later will make its bow in Toronto. And obviously that's more of a buyer-heavy festival than Venice. Also going to be there, Jennifer Aniston's romantic comedy Management, and where she plays an art dealer pursued by an oddball suitor, and Zac Efron from High School Musical is going to be in Richard Linklater's period piece Me and Orson Welles. So far, footage of the film got mixed reactions in Cannes, but should be interesting to see. And then, of course, More Than a Game, which is about LeBron James' high school team. He's going to be out there promoting it, so hopefully that will give it a little push. Anyway, a lot of movies coming out there. If you're in the Toronto area, definitely check it out. Kevin Smith's Zack and Miri Make a Porno is also going to be making its debut there. Paul Schrader's Adam Resurrected. And also a new Peter O'Toole film, Dean Spanley. And Alec Baldwin and Cynthia Nixon in Lime Life. So lots of stuff to check out there. Definitely worth checking out. So that's the Toronto Film Festival. Finally, on the news side, the Smashing Pumpkins are releasing their new single Glow, via Guitar Hero World Tour. The video game will be, basically part or the song will be part of a downloadable song pack for the popular video game, and will be available at some point after the game's release, and which also includes The Everlasting Gaze and 1979 by Smashing Pumpkins. And in the initial soundtrack, you also have Today. So lots and lots of Billy Corgan going on there. And actually, you'll also be able to play Guitar Hero as the likeness of frontman Billy Corgan. No word exactly on why one would want to do that. They're going to be playing, the Pumpkins are also playing in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles, doing some 20th anniversary shows, and then doing another run of dates after that, focusing on the 20th anniversary of the album Gish. So that's what's going on there. All right, so getting back to what's going on with TV premieres. So we got through ABC and CBS. Let's look at NBC. Heroes makes its return on Monday, September 22nd. The next day, Law & Order SVU makes its premiere, September 23rd. On the 24th, Knight Rider makes its premiere. This is, of course, the follow-up to the very popular TV movie that came out last year. Following Knight Rider, I guess it's a two-hour premiere. Knight Rider is a two-hour premiere, which is going to be followed with a new episode of Lipstick Jungle. That's right, it didn't get canceled. That was the other one that got canceled. On Thursday, September 25th, The Office and My Name is Earl make their debuts, both 1 hour, starting off at 8 o'clock with My Name is Earl, followed up by The Office, and then after that at 10 p.m., ER makes its debut for the last time. They've said it before. Believe it when I see it. And following that, Monday, September 29th at 8 p.m., Chuck. And I know that's going to be a popular one around this household. On Monday, September 29th at 10 p.m., My Own Worst Enemy. Now, this is the show starring Christian Slater, and I'll get into more detail in the next episode when I do, like, the, you know, here's the new shows, here's what this is all about. But this is the Christian Slater one where basically he's a guy who who has a secret agent living in his head, and he's not aware of it. I don't know either. Followed that is October 3rd, which is a Friday. Looks like Life is making its way over to Fridays. Wow. That's generally the kiss of death. So yes, Life will begin its second season on Friday, October 3rd at 10 p.m. On Thursdays, we got Kath and Kim. This is Selma Blair and Molly Shannon. It's a remake of an Australian sitcom. And so that's going to be Thursday, October 9th at 8:30. And I guess so that's going to be sandwiched in between Earl and The Office. And Friday, October 17th, they start Crusoe. This one looks kind of interesting, but I just wonder if the world's ready for a 17th century period piece, but we'll see. And Thursday, October 30th, 30 Rock comes back. Looking at Fox, Prison Break started this past Monday. Bones started this past Wednesday. Kitchen Nightmares started last night. Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader starts tonight. There you go. I know you were all waiting for that one. And of course, Cops, America's Most Wanted, are on Saturday. Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, makes its return on Monday, September 8th. Fringe starts Tuesday, September 9th. This one, a lot of anticipation. I talked the other week about the Wildstorm comic that actually comes out today, just ahead of the premiere. Till Death returns on Wednesday, September 10th at 9 p.m. Do Not Disturb, Wednesday, September 10th at 9:30 p.m. Don't forget the lyrics comes back on September 12th. The following Tuesday, September 16th at 8 p.m., we got House. The Simpsons come back September 28th at 8 p.m. King of the Hill comes back at 8:30. Family Guy comes back that day at 9. And American Dad comes back at 9:30. So you got that whole Sunday night Fox comedy cartoon block going on. Over on the CW, Gossip Girl and One Tree Hill, they were the first ones out of the gate this past Monday. And followed on Tuesday night by 90210. Then on Wednesday, it was America's Next Top Model. Next Tuesday, September 9th, we've got Privileged, which is the new Joanna Garcia series, along with Sarah Drew. On Thursday, September 18th, Smallville comes back, possibly for its last season. Apparently going to be seeing a whole lot more of Green Arrow in that one. And it will be followed directly by the season premiere of Supernatural. Friday, September 19th, Everybody Hates Chris. They haven't killed it yet. Excellent. The Game will follow that at 8:30. They haven't killed it yet, but, you know, it's a Friday. Friday. Oh. In Harm's Way, Sunday, September 21st. Valentine is also going to be Sunday, September 21st. Easy Money, also Sunday, September 21st. Wow, they got a little block going on there. And Stylista and Surviving Suburbia. A lot of these sort of last four or five are in co-productions with Media Rights Capital. So interesting to see what that all, means. I mean, who knows? So what I'm going to do is next week I'm going to get into the specifics of the new shows, you know, what they are, why they are, all that kind of stuff. One thing I just wanted to bring up is on this past Tuesday, an online auction began over at OrdinaryPeopleChangeTheWorld.com. They're doing 4-week-long auctions, and this is all part of the Siegel and Shuster Society. Author Brad Meltzer, his new book, The Book of Lies, came out on Tuesday, and basically, what he wants to do is use this publicity around this to save the house where Siegel created Superman. It is currently situated in a not so nice area of Cleveland, and they're looking at basically fixing it up. You know, they want to raise around $50,000, fix the roof, replace some rotting wood. As Meltzer says, the house where Google was created is protected. The garage where Hewlett-Packard was created is protected. Let's protect another piece of culture, and that is the house in which Superman was created. So basically, you can head over to OrdinaryPeopleChangeTheWorld.com, and they got some great stuff that they're auctioning off here. Starting with like a T-shirt signed by Jerry Siegel before his death, a walk-on role on TV's Heroes, original art by Jim Lee, Murphy Anderson, George Perez, Tim Sale, and others. Jim Lee's drawing offer drew a $710 bid on Tuesday. Ordinary people can change the world. Make it happen, people. Comments as always, welcome. Poptopiapodcast@gmail.com. Have a great weekend.